Assalamu alaikum, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. If you're new here, my name is Mihad, and I'm the host of my show or podcast, Wherever You're At, a podcast where we focus on self-improvement through Islam and just generally girl talk. The whole vibe of this podcast is basically to say, wherever you're at, girl, I'm going to meet you there, and we're both going to get on this train to Jannah and to be better together. Do you get the vibe? Do you get the vibe? Do you know how many times I tell people, like, wherever you're at, you can listen to it, or wherever you're at, like, I'm cool with it. That's the vibe of the podcast, and I'm so glad I chose this name because I was low-key insecure about it, like, back when I was choosing the name, because choosing a name for your podcast is so, like, it's so permanent. Like, I don't know, changing it feels weird. I don't think I'll ever change it, but if I do, I would have to top this one. And right now, I can't top this one because it's just so accurate to what I'm trying to do, you know, with this podcast. But anyways, I missed you all. How are you guys? I hope you had a great Eid. Eid Mubarak, everybody. What's so crazy is that you guys were supposed to be hearing this literally before Eid, like 2 days before Eid, because I was supposed to post it on Monday, the Monday before Eid. But guess what? Your girl fell sick. She fell sick. And literally the night before Eid, which is crazy, I was doing my friend's henna, and I was like, why am I feeling sick? I'm feeling a little sick. And throughout the whole Ramadan, literally the whole thing, I would like feel sick through the day. And then as soon as I had iftar, I was fine. But for some reason, this day was a little different. I was low-key feeling under the weather. Why do I wake up the next day horrible? Like, every day, guys. And what's crazy is this happened last year. Last year, I was bedridden in my friend's bed who lived right next to the masjid because I was sick the whole time. I don't know what it is, but I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases your sins. Like, if someone's sick or has anxiety or any type of trial, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is erasing your sins. So I was like, okay, maybe God knows that right after, like, Eid, I'm gonna have trouble, like, getting back on my deen and on my grind. So maybe he's, like, removing those sins before they even happen. Or maybe he's removing sins that he knows I was gonna do on Eid. Like, anything. Literally could be anything. Like I said, guys, God's wisdom, best wisdom. So that's just what I was thinking. It just sucked because, like, I had to, like, push through the whole Eid being sick. But alhamdulillah for everything. So couldn't make it before Eid. And then after Eid, literally traveled the day after Eid is when I came back to Florida. And even though I was sick, I did edit the flying to Texas for Eid vlog on my YouTube channel. Because if you didn't know, I have a YouTube channel. And you should go watch it because it's so fun to record videos for you guys. And I think I have like 4 out right now. 2 of them are like sit down chit chat videos, which are like 50 minutes long. And then the other 2 are like vlog types. So I'm definitely, I think working on that content has also like not taken me away from the podcast. But as, when I add something to my life like YouTube or like then when I added the Patreon, I have to like readjust and rediscover like how often I'm going to post on those platforms, because even though, okay, I was literally about to pull that, even though being an influencer is easy, it's sometimes so hard. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that balancing content, like what you're going to make, definitely you have to like plan that out. You have to like, these influencers are recording their whole life. So in order to balance their own personal life and content, you have to be a little strategic with it. Because I never want to be an influencer or a content creator that like gives up my personal life and gives up my, I guess, privacy for the internet. Because that's unfortunately what we've come to as a society, is we literally want people to tell us their whole life story, their whole routine. And now I'm watching freaking Day in the Lives with a single mom. And they started off by their husband touching them up, like hugging and kissing on the camera. I'm like, okay, hello, we're trying to see you change diapers. We're not trying to see you make out with your man at 6 a.m. But what I'm going back to is that I am not someone who considers myself like a full-time content creator, even though that's low-key all I do right now. But I do think that it's important to have a balance with your own life. And that's what I was trying to figure out with all the platforms. Okay, enough yapping. I need to tell you guys about my Ramadan experience and then also my Eid experience because I forget now that I'm on YouTube that sometimes I tell them stuff and I have to tell you guys too. Duh, the OGs. So this is what happened. I don't remember what I said last time. I think I told you guys I was excited about going to Texas, but I never told you guys about Texas. So let me tell you. So I get to Texas on Tuesday, April 2nd, and that means that I literally got to spend like 8 days of the last 10 days in Texas, which was great. Great, because I thought that I was like having to sacrifice my friends and my family by doing Ramadan like in Florida. And yes, I did for like the first 3 weeks. But let me tell y'all, two days in, I already felt like I spent my whole Ramadan in Texas, which was such a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I was like so grateful. I was like, wow, I really feel like I got to do Ramadan with my husband in Florida in solitude, and I told you guys the benefits of solitude in the last episode. And then now I get to do it with my friends and my family at my childhood masjid. Like, that's so fun. Alhamdulillah. I was so happy about that. So basically, I don't know about y'all, but growing up, like, Ramadan was the time of the year, and I'm so grateful for that opportunity because those last 10 days are my entire friend group begging our parents, please let us stay the night, right? Obviously, we were not begging for qiyam. We were begging for literally the sleepover aspect of it, like bringing your blankets and your pillows, be literally not sleeping, getting tired right before fajr or right before qiyam as a kid. And my parents are very, like, they're strict, but in a, like, safety kind of way. Like, anything to do with safety, they're strict. Like, when I was younger, it was like, oh, you can't drive with that friend because she just got her license. And I'm like, ugh, but I want to drive with her. Or, like, doing qiyam at the masjid, oh, you can't stay because we're not staying today and you need an adult or whatever. Makes sense now that I think about it. But as a kid, I was like, bro, like, they're not going to let me stay. But then we had this, like, one friend whose mom would stay every single night. And subhanAllah, she still stays to this day, like, every single night. And we would tell my mom or my dad, we'd be like, okay, she's gonna watch us. And then she would come tell my parents, like, I got them, don't worry, I'm gonna watch them tonight, it's fine. And then we'd have the time of our lives between 1 and 3 p.m. You literally, what's so embarrassing is, did I tell you guys that I actually got to go to Roots Qalam in Dallas, and I got to listen to Ustad Abdurrahman Murphy, my favorite sheikh or my favorite lecturer person? Did I tell you guys that? When did I do that? I literally did that before Ramadan, I think. Yes, I did. I didn't tell you guys. That was so fun. I went to, if you guys don't know, Dallas has like such a good Muslim community and they have like lectures all the time, programs all the time. So I went to one of the programs in like, I think it was like March 2nd, March 3rd, something like that. And there was a question. Oh, there's a police car. Okay, there was a question on the board, and he was doing a lecture with another sheikh. There was a question on the board that was like, what is like your favorite memory of Ramadan growing up, right? And then so we talk in our groups, and then he would ask us, and I rose my hand, and he actually listened to me speak. And I know this sounds crazy, guys, but like, he's had such a beneficial impact on my life. So like, just like seeing him in person and listening to him in person was like so surreal. And I don't want to like idolize him or like, you know what I mean? But definitely I was fangirling a little bit. And I said, actually, I don't think I answered that question. No, I didn't. But I told my group, I was like, my favorite thing about Ramadan growing up was like literally the hours of 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. because that's like after Taraweeh, after Iftar, but before Qiyam and before Fajr. And there's no rules. Like, we just went feral. Okay. We got Whataburger. We would make ramen, we would like hang out outside, we would go on the playground, and it's like 2 a.m. like, come on, that's like a kid's dream. Like, I am living it up. But where was I going with this? Oh yeah, I'm trying to tell you guys that the vibe is to stay there all night, have fun with your friends. But now that we're older, it was so cool to see like, what is Ramadan to us now? Like, yes, we're so excited to spend 1 to 3 a.m. or literally at that point 9 p.m. for Aisha to 6 a.m. together. Like, that was so fun, especially after not seeing them for so long. Like, I really enjoyed that. But this time it's different because, like, as you're older, you are trying to prioritize worship or ibadah. So, like, me and my friends would go outside and read Quran together, or some of them would make ramen for us. I would make ramen. It was just such a vibe. So, anyways, I did that for 8 days. Super fun. I went to, like, a different masjid once because I was staying with my husband who lives, like, in a different part of Texas. So I went to go stay with him just for one of the nights to have iftar with his family because me and my husband are both from Texas. So, dude, why does everybody think me and my husband met on TikTok? I swear, people be responding for us saying, like, oh yeah, they met on TikTok. No, we did not. We lived in the same city, kind of, okay? So that's so both of our families are there. That's why I always talk about, like, going back to Texas when I'm older. That's where we both want to live, inshallah. But anyways, majority of the time I spent it at my childhood masjid, which I was so happy about, and seeing all the aunties, and they were like, oh my God, you're here. Are you happy? Please tell me you're happy. I was like, girl, I'm happy. Thank you. Thank you. And it was just so nice to see everybody. So, the only thing that was different than, like, other Ramadans when I used to live there was, like, we used to have iftar at the masjid every single night, and this time we didn't. We kind of, like, met up for Aisha, but it was good because I spent iftar with my parents or my mom, and that was nice to have, like, that quality time. Even though, like, in my family, like, Ramadan and Eid, like, everyone's doing their own thing because, like, my dad is, like, volunteering at the masjid. My mom is, like, a little bit antisocial, so she likes to go to, like, another masjid nearby. And then all the siblings are gone except for me and my sister right now. So it was like everyone is just doing their own thing, which I feel like I wish we could have spent, like, a little bit more family time together, because that's obviously such an important thing in Ramadan and Eid. But I'm excited because I'm going back soon again. Oh my God, y'all must think I'm depressed here in Florida the way I keep going back to Texas. But I will always go back to my roots. I will always go back to my roots. But it was a really great experience to be there and to have friends that, like, also wanted to stay up at night and pray and read Quran and talk and hang out and pray. Like, praying Aisha at the masjid in congregation and praying Fajr at the masjid in congregation, your whole night is written in Salat, like, that you prayed all night, which was such a good thing because we tried to do that every single night and it was like, ugh, I just loved it. Anyways, enough about that. Okay, and then after that, Eid Mubarak, everybody. So we had, like, what do the Desis call it? Oh, Chandra, the thing where you do, like, the prep for Eid and everything. So I did all my friends' henna, most of them. I did that in the YouTube video if you guys want to go watch that. My YouTube channel is called Mihad's Mind. I made it a while ago, back when I had literally no subscribers. Y'all, when I tell you, I posted one video and I think, like, couple months later, I had, like, maybe 700 subscribers, which is, like, a lot already. Why am I at 12,000 subscribers right now? How did that happen with only 4 videos? Like, that's insane. But the love on there is, like, it's actually crazy. I love it so much. And I've always wanted to be a YouTuber, podcast person. Like, I'm so excited that I'm actually putting my childhood dreams, like, to life because it's oh, I've always been, like, a talker. Than more of, like, someone who actually does what they talk about. So, definitely proud of myself for that. But anyways, Eid, I wore abaya from House of Khair, which I'm gonna make a TikTok about because there's two abayas and it's gonna be like a, I don't know what it is gonna be yet, but I have to wear it. Like, I'm actually going to wear it to our Eid party. So, I am going to make a TikTok about both of them because they're so cute. It was like giving butterfly abaya, but it was an open abaya, and I, like, put one of those, like, slip dresses underneath. It was so cute. I actually loved it. I loved my Eid fit this year. It was so, like, I felt so elegant and, like princessy. You know what I mean? I don't know. Anyways, I'll put y'all on that. But Eid, what day was Eid? The 9th or the 10th? Oh, it was the 10th. Yeah, Eid was the 10th. That was so exciting. But I was still sick, like I said. But me and my friends had a good Eid. I'm not really going to talk about that since I already made a YouTube video about it. Might as well go look at it. You know what I mean? Like, visual learner. But it was nice. I spent it with my friends and then I saw my family at night. And then the next day I had to leave back to Florida. I do wish I stayed a little later because, like, that's when my family actually hung out and, like, had a dinner or, like, went to dinner at, like, in-laws' houses and stuff. So I missed that, unfortunately. And it's so sad, like, when your parents are like, hey, we miss you. Like, when are you coming back? Like, stop. I will literally start crying right here, right now. Especially because all my siblings freaking moved out around the same time. So it's just so sad to think of them, like, alone, if y'all know what I mean. But inshallah, I'm going to be coming back soon. So I'm going to make up for the chaos that Ramadan was. And I'm actually going to spend way more time with them, inshallah. But yeah, Eid was fun. We always have this tradition where, like, some of the dads of, like, my friends, like, they go to, like, a brunch spot, and then we all, like, go with them, and that was nice. We had, like, a long table, and all of our friends were on there. It was so cute. Ugh, I miss them already. But I feel like it's just spending the nights with them, like, really, because my love language, one of them is quality time. I actually think I have all five love languages. Like, when someone asks me, all five, babe. I have all five. Like, I don't have a top two. Actually, I think my top two are physical touch and quality time, I believe. But it really differs, like, with friends or with, like, your significant other. Like, I think it's different. Am I right? Those are two different things, right? It's a different type of love. So it's a different type of love language. Do you get what I'm putting down? But I guess I want this episode to be more about post-Ramadan feelings, not really what I did, even though obviously I start the episodes letting you guys know what I've been up to and all that. So other relevant things in my life are that I came back to Florida, and what do you know, guys? It's time to pack up and leave Florida. And you might be thinking, oh my god, she's going back to Texas. Wrong. I actually am moving up to Pennsylvania. That is where I'm going to go for my husband's last year of dental school, inshallah. So, surprise, surprise, I am actually not going back to Texas yet. And I have a group chat with my parents. I think I told you guys this. It's called the Nomads. And that's just because we are bouncing around the U.S. before we come back home. And although that's exciting and I'm excited for the experiences, it is a lot mentally to just bounce around. Like, I know some people really like that, like, to experience different states and stuff, but I'm kind of over the experience. Like, I'm trying to be back. I'm really trying to be back already, but it's okay. I talked to you guys about my friend that always says, like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you where you need to be. So I'm not meant to be in Texas this upcoming year. I'm not meant to be there. I'm meant to be up north for the first time, even though I was born up north. I was actually born in New York, if anyone was wondering. I'm a New Yorker just for the first wee years of my life. So it's not my first time up north. It's not my first rodeo, but definitely my first adult rodeo. So that's going to be a very, very interesting time in my life. I am super excited for the content, though. I'm not going to lie. The Pack With Me content, moving, setting up my new apartment, inshallah. Speaking of apartment, it has been so hard to find a place to live. I don't know what it is up there about finding somewhere to live, but nowhere wants to take us. Like, we are, nowhere wants to take us. I'm about to do the RV life and just rent a freaking RV and just live in it. I think I like this little, I'm sorry. I feel like I'm dropping bombs on y'all. But yeah, I'm moving. And the reason I'm telling you guys that is because I'm moving in 2 weeks. Like, I have 2 weeks to get up out of here. And let me tell you, not a single box in sight. There's not a single box in sight. And I actually can't use boxes. I'm using bags because I'm, like, putting a lot of stuff in my car. So how does one just put everything in a trash bag? Like, do I just dump stuff in the trash bag? Do I, like, line the trash bag with a blanket so that nothing breaks? Like, I don't know what to do, and I'm not good with deadlines and stuff, so I'm, like, actually freaking out. But that's currently why I've been so disoriented. Like, I was sick, like I said, and then I came back, so then I was traveling. I was still sick when I came back, and then bam, I have to, like, freaking move out. So I'm, like, I feel in, like, a limbo period. Like, I feel like nothing's real. I'm going crazy. But yeah, so that's kind of how the turn that my life has taken right now. But The reason I'm moving in 2 weeks is because I'm going back to Texas because I don't know if I told you guys, but my sister had a baby, alhamdulillah, the first little grandchild in the family. And so she's finally bringing that baby to Texas so I can meet him, my little baby. And he's going to meet his Auntie Mamie. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be his favorite aunt because I will fight for that title. I will fight for that title. And I haven't held a baby in so long. Like, have y'all held a baby since freaking before COVID? I don't think I have. And so I'm so excited to see. Like, I feel like he's not real because I've never met him before. But that's why I'm going back to Texas in literally 2 weeks. The problem is I'm not going to come back to Florida because then my husband's going to be in his, like, 10-day summer break. And he's going to come to Texas, too. So what's the point of coming back? He's not even here. That's why I have to literally have everything packed in under 2 weeks, which is psycho to me. Like, I actually might rip my hair out, but that's what we're gonna do. And I'm just gonna have to suck it up and start packing, which is crazy. Anyways, enough about that. I am now going to dive into the topic of the episode, which might be confusing to you guys because you're like, what does she mean? Nothing changes if nothing changes. So the theme of this episode is like post Ramadan, keeping the good habits, keeping the iman high and things like that. And the main thing I want to focus on is the fact that nothing changes if nothing changes. What do I mean by this? If you don't change your life the way you changed it in Ramadan, nothing will change. If you go exactly back to your life before Ramadan, nothing will change. This is like a quote that like my husband always uses because when he was in undergrad, he always listened to these like motivational podcasts. Like it was like TED Talks, but like on Spotify, if that makes sense. And just clips from different TED Talks or different boxers or different like psychologists or whatever he was listening to. And they would always say the same thing. Nothing changes if nothing changes. And this is 100% literally just going back to habits. If you would like to build a new habit, you need to keep it going and you need to do it for a certain period of time. So in Ramadan, we all tried to be better, I hope, I assume. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our Ramadan and allow us to see the next Ramadan because God, do we need it. I think it's so cool that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a whole month where we all together, all across the globe, try to be better. Because it's like, he knows as humans, we are so distracted by this life that's full of illusion and full of like fake and instant gratification, that we need a month to reset, you know? We need it and we need his mercy and he gives that to us. SubhanAllah, the most merciful. So, but to keep that going after is the hard part. And you know why? Because I feel like growing up, a lot of us viewed Ramadan as like the time that we're supposed to be very like religious and very spiritual. And then afterwards, we can just go back to normal. And so maybe like being like 13, 14, 15, 16, we would like, as soon as Ramadan's over, we go ahead and listen to music again, or we go ahead and do like anything that we were doing before. But now that we're older and getting older, it's so important to not view Ramadan as this ideal month that you can't achieve, because Ramadan is literally proof that you, in your life, your current life, are capable of more than we do every day. If you were praying in Ramadan, if you were wearing hijab in Ramadan, if you were just getting rid of old bad habits and sins, and you were adding good deeds and good habits, you are capable of doing that outside of Ramadan. Literally proof. You just did it, babe. And what's crazy is that you actually made it a habit because you did it for a whole month. The problem is that we actually listen to Shaitan, unfortunately, when he tells us, that was just Ramadan. Like, you don't need to be doing all that. Like, it's not Ramadan anymore. You can do some things, but you don't have to do all of it. No. If you listened to my last episode or the episode before that, I don't remember which one it was, Shaitan is a pick me. Babe, he wants friends. He wants friends, so he's going to try to bring you to his side, and you are not going to listen. We've already established this. If you haven't listened to the Shaitan is a Pick Me episode, go listen to that episode before you listen to this one. I think the biggest realization growing up was the fact that Ramadan shows us what our entire ummah can be and what we can be if we actually just put in the effort. And what's sad is that we don't do it. And someone commented actually on my Instagram post today. Let me read it. She was talking, because I asked questions on my Instagram. If you guys don't follow me on Instagram, the podcast WYA account, go follow that, because I'd be asking y'all questions on there and posting stickers for you guys to answer so I can talk about it on the pod. But I asked them, let me see what question I did. I did, how are you trying to continue to be better after Ramadan finished? Any habits you left / picked up in Ramadan? What are you struggling with now that Ramadan is over? So let me actually read the comments. So the comment that I liked was, someone said, honestly, not gonna lie, realizing that you're capable of doing all the things you said you were gonna do and stopping them after Ramadan makes me a little sad. Because that effort and motivation I had just isn't there anymore, and it feels like another version of me that's almost unrealistic, but not really, because that person existed during Ramadan. It felt like my Iman high was more of a vibe than an accomplishment, if that makes sense. She was so real for that. She was so real for that, because she said what we were thinking. Okay, Ramadan is such a vibe, and I think, or what I'm understanding when she said like it felt more like a vibe than an accomplishment, is because it feels like an accomplishment if we keep it going after Ramadan, you know? Like, I felt accomplished at the end of Ramadan, which is something I'm really grateful for, because last Ramadan, I did not feel that vibe at all. Like, last Ramadan was probably my worst Ramadan, and I was really determined to not have that same experience this year. And I think majority of the reason I didn't have the same Ramadan I had last time is because I was in solitude. When I say solitude, guys, I don't mean I'm, like, in my freaking closet by myself in the dark trying to figure out how to do Ramadan. I mean, like, without like the community I'm used to or the friends I'm used to and stuff like that. But she's so real for saying that it was a vibe, and you know what, it is a vibe, and that's not a problem. But when she said that it feels like an unrealistic version of herself, but it's not, because she can do it. If she did it in Ramadan, she can do it outside of Ramadan. I want to point out that a huge reason that we are so much better in Ramadan is because of something I've said in a different episode. When you surround yourself with Islam, it is so much easier to feel that Iman high and to be a practicing Muslim. Where are you in Ramadan? At the masjid. What are you listening to in Ramadan? Quran, podcasts, lectures. Who are you with in Ramadan? Your Muslim friends, your family. What are you watching in Ramadan? Like, do you see what I'm saying? What are you wearing in Ramadan? You're dressing more modestly. Like, are you swearing? Are you listening to music? Are you doing all those things? No. And how much easier was it for you to be religious in that time? That's one of the things that I've really come to realize, is when you surround yourself with deen, it is so much easier to practice. And I think a huge part of this is literally because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you walk to me, I'll run to you. In Ramadan, what are you doing? You're walking to him. You're taking the steps to be better. Did you feel him coming to you? Did you feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making it easier for you to practice, making it easier for you to go to the masjid, making it easier for you to be religious in general, giving you that motivation? That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's influence on you when you come to him. Now the problem is, after Ramadan, what do? We go right back to our daily routine. And you know what? Ramadan isn't low-key, not an unrealistic routine, but it is our ideal self. That's not a problem. It's not a problem to see going to the masjid every day, praying every like night in the last third of the night as an unrealistic thing. It low-key is. Like, we go to work, we go to school. It's not easy for us to fast every day, pray every night, like wake up in the middle of the night, especially those of you who work like in healthcare or work really demanding jobs or in school, very demanding like degree. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing you what you're capable of. And so outside of Ramadan, he knows your life. Like, he knows your heart and he knows your life. But to go from that to zero, that's what's humbling. That's you listening to shaitan, and that's you trying to be a perfectionist and thinking, well, I can't do everything I did in Ramadan, so I'm going to do nothing. You know what I mean? Like, if you're someone who is still attached to music, guess what? You're probably going to listen to music after Ramadan. And you might feel guilty right now with me talking and you thinking, damn, I went back to music. Okay, but how much music do you listen to? Right? Did you leave Ramadan and go right back to the exact amount of music you listened to? Because if you did, that's the problem. That's the problem. What effort are you putting in to make your Ramadan self an actual reality? You know, not an ideal self anymore, actually who you are. So I always talk about baby steps. If you're, and I'm just randomly using like the music example, but if you're someone who's like a diehard music fan and you restrained from music as much as you could or fully in Ramadan, out of Ramadan, take baby steps to stop listening to it. And I know you're like, but I can't. I love music so much. I know, we're in a society where music is literally used to control your emotion. Songs like, what's that one song? Feel the rain on your skin. No one, that song makes me so happy. It's literally controlling my emotions. Any Billie Eilish song makes me depressed. I am not going to be a slave of the music industry and the music and the effect that music has on us. But I'm not going to sit here and say that I fully cut out music. The reason I don't talk about it that much is because I don't want to air my sins. And that's because there's so many like negative things that come with like telling your sins. Like people think it's okay because you struggle with it too, you might come off as like proud of it a little bit. You see what I'm saying? So it's good to stay away from talking about your sins and keeping it a personal thing between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what I'm saying is that it is not easy to get rid of something that you are attached to. Literally in the Prophet's time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not abolish drinking alcohol right away. Why? He knew that they were not able to get rid of it because they were addicted to it. That's literally part of their culture and their society. So slowly did alcohol become haram, right? And then people stopped drinking alcohol when they like knew more about the deen and understood the deen more. So if you think that music is just going to easily, like, you're just going to stop caring about it, it's not going to happen. But something I did to listen to music less for sure is that I chose areas in my life where I was like, I don't need to be listening to music. So if you're someone that just puts music in the background every time you drive, why do you need it? You know, especially if it's so quiet. Oh my God, I'm sorry. That's a pet peeve. If your music in the car is like so quiet that you can't even hear it, why is it on? It's just random bad deeds for what? Like, you're not even listening to it. Or like when you're like walking through campus, you don't have to be listening to music, you know? But I understand like some people like listen to it at the gym and that's like an addiction, right? And they feel like they can't work out without music, okay? Why don't you cut it out in the car rides? If you're not someone who is like diehard music fan in the car ride, then don't listen to the car ride. And then when you get to the gym, okay, listen to it. Eventually, your attachment to music will go down. And then guess what? At the gym, you're going to start listening to it less. And this is literally something tried and true in my experience that helped me stop listening to music is eliminating it from some parts of my life, right? That's what you should do with every single sin. If you're like, let me give another example because I'm diving too deep into the music one. If you're someone that doesn't wear hijab yet, right, and you want to wear hijab, or you might not even want to wear hijab, but you do know that it's fard and you do know that you're supposed to be doing it, start making your life more open to the hijab. So if you're someone who's not even dressing modestly yet in your clothes, start wearing a little bit looser clothes, even if you're not wearing hijab. I know people who were wearing really loose clothes and they kept working on that part of their modesty to the point where all they had to do was add a hijab on top and they were so modest. These are close friends of mine who literally put on the hijab and it was not even hard for them, or like to an extent, because they were already observing modesty through the rest of their clothing. Because hijab is not just the headscarf on your head, it's literally everything. It's the way you carry yourself, it's your clothing, it's your speech, it's everything. So for them, it was a lot easier, I think, for them to wear hijab because they've worked on that part. So work on that part. You're not ready for hijab? Fine. Wear looser shirts. Don't wear the super tight shirts, like the tight long sleeve. And if you're going to wear a tight long sleeve, wear like a jacket over it. If you're going to wear jeans, get the baggy jeans. They're literally in style. What are you doing to get to that point is my question. And that's something that I feel like a lot of us after Ramadan, we're like, feeling so, not so unmotivated, but we feel that perfectionism, that comes from Ramadan, right? The one where we want to do everything right in Ramadan. When Ramadan is over, we're like, okay, I don't feel like I can do everything right. So what? You're not going to do anything? We're not going to fall for that, babe. We're not going to fall for that. I honestly think that if after Ramadan you want to be the same person you were during Ramadan, you need to keep surrounding yourself with the deen. If you're going to go back to music, listen to it less. Keep listening to the lectures. Keep doing dhikr. Keep wearing modest clothing. Keep doing those things because your brain will get in the same vibe that it was in Ramadan or similar. I mean, you're already here listening to this podcast about improving yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're already taking that step. You're in the right place, babe. You're in the right place. And like I said, we meet each other wherever you're at. I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you're still listening to music with bad lyrics, if you're not wearing hijab, if you're not praying, if you came out Ramadan worse, I don't care. I'm meeting you where you're at, okay? All we care about here is trying. It's trying. And don't listen to Shaitan when he's like, you are trying because you prayed yesterday. So do you have to pray today? Guys, you don't understand Shaitan's tricks, bro. You don't understand his tricks. You know, Shaitan doesn't tell you like, no, you shouldn't pray. Just don't pray. Shaitan tells you things like, you just prayed though. You just prayed though. It's already time for Asr, but you just prayed though. Okay, why don't you pray in like an hour or two? Let's pray in an hour or two, then we'll be fine. And then guess what? You miss it. And then he's like, dang, you missed it? What's the point? Low key, just try again tomorrow. Low key, no need to do it today. He is so sneaky. I hate that guy. I hate him so much. Because you know what? I fall for it all the time. I fall for his tricks all the time, and it's embarrassing for me. But you know what? This life is not perfect. We are not perfect. Jannah is full of sinners who repent. Remember. I think sometimes I'm like, am I talking about the same things too much in these podcasts? But I want to drill it into our heads. Like, I really want to drill it into our heads that we are not meant to be perfect. We are meant to be trying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values progress over perfection. And that's what we should be focusing on. So I'm going to read some of the things that you guys said that you were going to take with you after Ramadan, because I posted on my story a question sticker and I said, Hari Mubarak. So what are y'all taking with you after Ramadan? Like, what are the habits we're taking with us? And I think that's a good way to end this episode, because we can end it on a positive thing. Like, we can end it on a positive and motivational outlook. Right? I feel like this whole thing was low-key positive and motivational. I hope. But let me get that for you guys. Okay, so I got the list of things that you guys said you were going to take with you. So I'm going to scroll all the way to the bottom just to see what the first few people said. Okay, so being more conscious in salat. That's a big one for me too. I feel like I've worked on my khushu' a lot in Ramadan, because that's something I kept asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me with, because I just like, my brain goes like, I have like 1,000 thoughts a minute. So in salat, it's not very good, not very helpful for me to take that into my salat. But some things that I've been doing to help with that is to enter my salat more calm, less rushed. So trying not to delay my salat a lot helps me feel like I don't have to be like super rushed in it. Also saying my Quran very slow, like literally each ayah, slow. I'm taking deep breaths in between, like literally pausing through each one. Also, add a little voice into that. Like, add a little cute voice, like a melody to the Quran. The Quran is beautiful, so like, work on reciting it beautifully instead of like monotone, and that also helps me like be more present in my salat. Realizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies to you in Fatiha. I'm gonna link a YouTube video. I'm gonna try to find a YouTube video for you guys. To watch, I'm going to link it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies to your Fatiha. Like, every ayah that you say, he says something back, and it's so beautiful because you are meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which a lot of us don't deep, and just realizing like what he's saying to you will help you like focus more, because you're in a conversation, right? Like, you, if you think you're doing salat by yourself, then that's easier to like go into different thoughts, but if you're realizing who you're in front of and who's talking to you, then I feel like you're more present in your salat. So those are some things that I've been doing, and alhamdulillah, that I'm trying to take out of Ramadan. Someone else said, dhikr with tea. Oh, that is so cute. Memorizing new ayahs to implement in prayer. Oh, I love this one. I have been trying to go through, like, juz amma, which is the smaller surahs, like the last juz, the 30th juz, and just literally reading more of the surahs that I memorized when I was little. So I'm using more of those in my salat, which is just making it less repetitive and less like routine, you know what I mean? So switching up the surahs like excites my brain, if that makes sense. So now I'm reciting different things, I'm more focused, and I'm trying to remember the ayahs that I've memorized. Or if you haven't memorized anything, just trying to memorize the shorter surahs so that you can be like more present in your salat. Let me scroll up, middle of the way. No more backbiting. Ugh, that's such a big one. I'm trying so hard, but I swear, like, okay, I'm not saying I backbite, like I talk crap about people, but like a lot of things are considered backbiting. Like literally just even if you're confiding in like a friend, the line of like actually asking for help and just talking to talk is so thin that it's really hard. But I definitely think that I'm way more aware of when like I'm in a situation where people are backbiting or I'm catching myself doing that. So definitely I'm more conscious about that. I need to be more conscious about that though, honestly. Making at least one long dua every day. Dude, for real, because we make so much dua in Ramadan, but after Ramadan, we just stop. Why? Why? Because when I've been making dua in my sujood, because sujood is when you're closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have been like feeling the Ramadan vibe a little bit because I'm like, oh, that's what I used to do in Ramadan, you know? Also, one thing, I've been trying my best to like end every single day asking for forgiveness. Every single night. Ask forgiveness for that day, and it's just like I feel lighter. Like I feel lighter knowing that every sin that I did yesterday, I asked forgiveness for it, and I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me leave all of those sins. So if you're not doing that, I definitely recommend just in your sujood saying the Laylatul Qadr du'a, the one Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna. So you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness in your sujood, at the end of the day, during Aisha. It's elite. I think you should do that. Next, 12 rak'ah total sunnah prayers for a house a day in Jannah, inshallah. Wow, that is a good one. I need to work on my sunnahs. I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves fard, but he loves sunnah as well. And I just know that like, as much as I'm working on my fard, I need to work on my sunnah too. It's just like, it's not extra. It's really not like, whenever we think about like these extra things, like, oh, like doing this is extra, it's extra, it's extra. Who are we to think we don't need the extra, bro? We need as many good deeds as we got. We need as many as we got. Every time you think you're doing enough, just remember that no one enters Jannah through your own deeds. Like, we can never do enough deeds to get us to Jannah. We enter Jannah based on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. You know what I mean? And He sees the good that we did. Anyways, next, waking up for Fajr, alhamdulillah. 100%. Waking up for Fajr just starts your whole day, and it's so like underrated or not talked about that like when you don't wake up for Fajr and you either do Fajr when you naturally wake up or you just don't do it at all, your day just starts without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need your day to start with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I swear it's so much better. That and morning adhkar, like just starting your day with those. I need to like get better at both, but it's just such a like a life hack to start your day remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You ask for protection, for forgiveness, for guidance through the whole day, and trust me, your day's gonna start feeling different. My days always felt different with morning adhkar, which is like the morning remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, someone said less makeup. I started to not like the way I looked with it. No, heavy on that, because why do I do a full face of makeup and I feel uglier? Why? And I'm not saying that as like a, yeah, I don't know how you guys do makeup. Like, what is makeup? What is that? Bronzer? What is a bronzer? No, I'm saying it as in like, y'all know what I mean. Like, sometimes you feel icky with it, and definitely when you start to stop wearing makeup, like when you wear it again, it just feels a little bit icky. And that's good because that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like kind of what's it called? Distancing you from it, you know, making it easier to let it go. Definitely throughout the whole Ramadan, I really worked on like not wearing makeup when I didn't need to or feel like I needed to. And I think I only did it like twice, like fully did it twice. And I still like tried to make it light. And one of the biggest things that I'm actually quite proud of myself for is that even on Eid, I went for like a natural look, like brown mascara, foundation instead of like bright concealer, freckles instead of like heavy blush and contour, and then my lip tint was like the strongest thing on my face, which I wish I went a little bit lighter on. But if you told old Mihad that she would be barely doing any makeup for Eid, I'd be like, what? Like, that's the day I show out. So I'm actually really proud that I didn't do a lot of makeup on Eid and I like kept it more natural, because that's, I feel like the true test is not like me not doing makeup while I like live with my husband and I don't see anybody. The true test is doing, not doing makeup when I really want to do makeup. So that's something that I'm trying to take with me after Ramadan. What's next? Reading Quran every day, inshallah. 100%. I need to get on this so hard, because I feel like one of the biggest like acts of worship, and I don't want to like air my sins, but like one of, I find Quran like one of the hardest things to stick to. And if you don't, like, alhamdulillah for you, and please make dua for me that I like implement the Quran more in my life. Because in Ramadan, like, I actually did feel, like, a huge connection to the Qur'an, because I was reading a lot of the English, and I, like, just felt connected with Taraweeh, and I felt connected with understanding kind of, like, even the smaller surahs that I was doing in my salat. Like, I tried to learn the meanings and stuff. But, like, the consistency of doing it every day is something that I've struggled with for a long time, and I don't know why. I think I have this perfectionism mindset with Qur'an that I need to, like, read a lot of it all the time instead of just, like, a surah a day, two surahs a day, a page a day. Like, just adding it. I need to habit stack Qur'an. You know what? I need to do that, which is basically just adding a habit to a habit I already have. So a habit I already have is praying Maghrib or praying Aisha. So after Aisha, I can sit down and read a couple ayahs. You know that thing where, like, if there's something you really want, don't want to do, do it for 2 minutes and then quit if you want. But most likely you're not going to quit, because the hardest part is starting. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start, like, literally just sitting and opening the Quran, reading one ayah. I know 100% I'm going to sit and read more. That's something that I'm going to try to do. So thank you for the reminder to take that with me outside of Ramadan. Someone said, I took one from your podcast, listening to lectures while doing other tasks. 100%. Like, it was the habit stacking that I talked about, just adding it, like, to, if you're cooking or studying or cleaning or anything, listen to lectures, because the Islamic knowledge literally helps you be more religious. Like, you just feel so much more connected to it. Okay, I'm gonna do one more. Something that has not been said yet. Oh, someone said share the answers. Oops, I did not see that. Maybe I should do that. Let me think. Okay, I'm gonna rush and relay. I'm gonna scroll in whatever I land on. No music, praying on time, and daily Quran. Whew, big one. I definitely feel, alhamdulillah, like, very, like, detached from music, and there's certain areas in my life where I still feel, like, that connection to it, unfortunately. Like, the harder things, like, parties or like TikTok, like, literally scrolling on TikTok is considered listening to music, because there's so much music. And so those are things that I struggle with, and I'm really trying to limit, like, either like turning the volume all the way down, or I removed TikTok from my home screen so that I would like be less inclined to press it, and that kind of stuff. But I for sure am way more aware of the impact of music and how it literally stops me from focusing in my salat, because I'm thinking about the music, it's in my head. It literally affects my, like, dopamine levels of, like, scrolling on TikTok, and I'm, like, constantly getting that dopamine, and then afterwards I get off my phone and my day feels so mundane, when instead, if I didn't start my day with music or TikTok or doom scrolling, then my day would feel so much more, like, light and happy, and you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's actually crazy. My friends and I were going, like, in a spiral, we're going down a rabbit hole of, like, the effects of music and the subliminal, like, the things that it does to your brain and the patterns that the music industry literally orchestrates of certain songs to make you, like, to make it stuck in your head, because then that you listen to it more and it streams more and whatever. So scary. That's why, like, when I was little, I never understood. I was like, why can't we just, like, listen to music and, like, be Muslim or and, like, listen to Quran and pray and stuff like that? I never knew how impossible it was to live with both. Like, you will always listen to music more than you listen to Quran if you have both in your life, 100%. And now I understand that, so I'm really, really trying to limit, like, any music that I listen to. Praying on time. So this one I really, really want to get to because I talked about like my struggles with Salat in the last episode, and because I've talked about that, I feel like I can also talk about like the struggle now that even though I pray all five, I used to struggle with not praying them the very last minute. Like I would like literally, unfortunately, delay it until like the last 5 minutes. I'm like, oh my God, I need to pray now. And then my Salat's like super fast and it's not focused. So although I'm not at the point where I'm praying them like right when I hear the adhan, I'm trying to be way more conscious of it. Like before I recorded this podcast, I had 15 minutes left for Salat. So I was like, okay, I'm going to wait it out so I can pray and then record. Instead of what I used to do is like delay it. And I'm still, wait, why do I sound like a smoker? Like what's going on? I think it's because I'm laying in a weird angle. So trying to make it more of like attending a meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead of like chasing and trying and like being late to it, you know? So big one. And then she said the daily Quran, which we already talked about. Okay, so even though there's a lot more, I think I like talked about like a lot of them. Those are all things that we should be taking with us outside of Ramadan. I think the biggest one, I'm going to reiterate this, is do not expect yourself to be who you were in Ramadan, but what are you doing to become that person? You know, what are you doing to become that ideal version of yourself? And if Ramadan was not the ideal version of yourself, what is the ideal version of yourself and how can you become it? Because Islam is a way of life. It's everything in your life. It's the way you speak, the way you act, it's the way you act. Just everything, it's a lifestyle. It's not just like everything is an act of worship is what I'm trying to say. If you do it in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So focus on trying to be your ideal self. And if you ever need advice for anything, feel free to DM me or email me at, I think my email is wherever you're at gmail.com. I think it is. If it's not, I'm going to put it in the caption. But I've actually been receiving a lot of, I didn't realize, but I actually told you guys my email and said you could email me any type of advice, like questions or paragraphs. Why did I open that email? And I have like 6 or like 10 essays from people. So what I'm about to do is I'm going to go open like one of them because I think they're really juicy. And I'm going to go read them on my Patreon. I'm going to do a bonus episode and read that and then give my advice. And also just talk about like things that I've been really struggling with like after Ramadan and like kind of the more personal things that I'm going to talk about on the Patreon. So if that's something that interests you, go ahead and join my Patreon. It's patreon.com/podcastwya. It's a community where I post extra content for them and we have a group chat together. I literally just asked them, let me see if they responded. I asked them, please give me 5 juicy questions that you want me to answer in the bonus episode. So I can post it right after this one because then they're going to have content back to back. So I said, let's get deep and vulnerable. Let's get to it. So I'm going to be answering those for them. And if that's something that interests you, you can go ahead and catch up on the content that I already posted on there and then the new ones, which is kind of cool because if you're entering the Patreon late, you're lucky because you have all the like bonus episodes that you didn't listen to yet. And so you have like a bunch of extra content. So that being said, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I hope it motivated you and made you feel more seen about the struggles of post-Ramadan and just trying to become your best self while also not beating yourself up. So that being said, I love you all and I will see you guys in the next episode. I'm not sure when I'm going to post it since my like sickness and traveling kind of like messed up my posting schedule, but maybe inshallah on Monday I'll go ahead and post another episode on here, the main channel, for you guys. So like I said, I will see you guys in the bonus episode or I will see you next time. Bye.